39. Close of business.
Well, I feel like I'm getting fleeced here, my boy, but these will be a great start to a well-equipped guild, O'Brien said after we'd finished our discussions. All totaled, for 15,000 gold a week, he was getting 500 smoke bombs from the alchemists, 10 cloaks that provided a stealth bonus from our tailors and enchanters, and 25 of our higher quality daggers from the blacksmiths. I was getting just shy of 9,000 gold a week in pure profit from the transaction. In terms of total profit, it was small time compared to some of our other endeavors, but it was nice to have the working relationship with the guild. If this went well, it could lead to an even more profitable arrangement if they continue to grow and expand operations. Honestly, I probably would have taken a loss if necessary, but O'Brien was willing to pay a fair price for everything after what I'd done for his guild. I still don't understand the point of kidnapping my men, he said, after we'd signed the appropriate contracts. She took them and just fed them? What in the hell's kind of sense does that make? No pun intended.
I think I can answer that one, sir, came a familiar voice.
Jamie had walked up looking like shit. He had the look of a man who tried to drown a breakup in a barrel full of tequila.
We weren't just being fed. She had us sneaking out through other exits in the vicinity of the lair to go hit the business district, especially small merchants, he explained. She also complained about needing you, sir.
Me? Why in the world would she want me? O'Brien asked. I think I know, I said, as I finished reading the missive I remembered finding in the loot after we killed Agrat. She wanted to use the guild to work towards destabilizing the city's economy. Start out small by breaking into smaller shops at night before moving on to wiping out the wealth of entire families. No one would have the money to keep their businesses going and people wouldn't be able to buy anything from them anyway. It's exactly what Rowan was afraid would happen.
Well, if the market crashed and we had all the money, we'd be the new nobles, right?
Came a voice I didn't recognize. It was a player. I didn't see any players my first time through here, so it was a surprise to see one now. His name was Latour, and his info said he was a level 30 thief. Clearly, he'd stolen or killed quite a lot since the game started. Something unsettled me about him, but I couldn't pin it down. He was a fairly nondescript guy. Maybe he was a little on the young side, but nothing in particular stuck out.
Fuck the city. It's just a bunch of ungrateful NPCs, right? Surely you agree with me, man,
he said, looking at me. O'Brien intervened before I could respond. I've explained this to you before, recruit. That's not how we do business. Remember the whole shave a sheep many times, only skin it once bit? You can't bleed the city dry and expect to live long after that. This seemed to fire up an unsettled argument between the two. The Tuer's voice was raised nearly to the point of yelling when he responded.
Then why aren't we out there bleeding everyone slowly? We could be running protection rackets, roughing people up for the businesses that won't get their hands dirty, money laundering, all that kind of stuff.
Some of the players that had walked up to listen nodded in agreement with this. I had to hold back a chuckle. Clearly the kid was just using phrases he'd heard in movies and didn't know what any of that stuff actually entailed. Protection rackets didn't work out the way movies said they did. They especially wouldn't last in a world where someone could just rain fire on your head if you got too uppity. And roughing people up? The kid looked like he couldn't rough up his own hair, much less some unknown entity that some random business was pissed at. I told you before, kid, we don't do that here, O'Brien yelled. We go out of our way to avoid hurting people when we can. Most of the ones we end up hurting deserved it. We aren't exactly the good guys, but I will not turn my organization into a bunch of hooligans beating up innocent citizens for pocket change. I was afraid this would happen. Obviously, you aren't cut out to be a part of the guild. I think you should leave. Latour's eyes went wide with shock.
You can't do this to me. Please, everything I've done since I started this stupid fucking game was to be the world's greatest thief, and now you're kicking me out of the guild? What do I do now?
He asked. I really don't fucking care, O'Brien curtly replied.
You, the angry player said as he pointed at me. It's your fault for clearing that stupid fucking demon lair out.
He pulled his knives and charged at me. Before he could cover half the distance, a flash of silver streaked through my peripheral vision right before a silver rapier went right through Latour's heart. O'Brien stood between us with an almost sympathetic look in his eyes as he pulled his rapier out of Letraire's chest. The anger never left his face as his body faded. A couple of rings and some coins dropped. So, players do drop items when they die. I'll need to remember that, I thought to myself. The last thing I needed was to drop something like my cloak or armor. I'm sorry you had to see that, Jack, the guild leader said as he wiped his blade clean. I hoped you would eventually see things my way and appreciate how we do business, but that wasn't meant to be. Anyway, you probably want to get back to Rowan and give him the good news. Tell him we will be sticking to targets that can afford to lose the money. None of the middle or lower class and no smaller businesses will be targeted. You have my word as a gentleman, he said the last with a bow. Thank you, O'Brien. I will have someone contact you regarding our business deals when we're ready, I said after returning the bow. Following that, I quickly left the hideout and went straight for Rowan's shop.
Ah, there you are, lad. How did it go? He asked hopefully as soon as I walked into the shop.
It went surprisingly well. I cleared out a layer of demons that had been kidnapping thieves and brainwashing them into doing exactly what you were afraid of, I said.
The demons were attacking the economy, he said as he paled slightly. This is a problem. I have to send a message to my... Never mind. You did great, Jack. I'd say you surpassed my expectations. Keep this up and I just might put you in my will, he said with a laugh that was obviously a poor attempt to break his own dour mood.
Well, I need to head back to HQ, Rowan. I still haven't even looked over my spoils from the last demon, I told him, much to his surprise. We said our goodbyes and I shot across town as quickly as I could. When I got to my personal office, Zen materialized with the merchant job active.
Let's see how much we hold in, he said with obvious greed in his voice.
All totaled, it was a massive haul. We found 30,000 gold coins that the succubus had been hoarding from the jobs her charmed thieves were doing for her. We also found some lightweight leather armor that boosted magical abilities. It was useless to us, but we set it aside to pass off to our team for research purposes. It wouldn't hurt to be able to craft magic-enhancing armor and weapons someday. We also found a stockpile of daggers made from some strange metal I was unfamiliar with. I decided to set those aside for my own research later. In addition to the missive I'd read earlier, there was also a book tracking the economic ins and outs of the city. It had all the major players in interregional trade, who traded what and where to go for the best mass production. I was pleased to see that we just barely made the cut as an up-and-comer in the city. This was going to come in handy later as we started trying to do more business with NPCs. I'd considered opening a shop to sell to players, but right now the sheer volume of trade I was doing with the kingdom itself was untouchable. Also, we'd found about 80 total bottles of the demon essence, a dozen or so horns, various weapons, and 4 different types of poison, 2 damaging, 1 sleep, and 1 that made a person more susceptible to charms and suggestions. I was glad Agrat never got to use that one on me. I'd have to find someone willing to craft poisons for me when I didn't have time myself. I'd also probably have to give them hazard pay. I checked the date and realized it was time to upgrade the mine again. I expanded both my new floors, which doubled production, and added a 5th. The new one was iron, and I doubled it, too. I decided not to go any deeper for now. Who knew what I'd find if I went lower? Besides, with my luck, it'd be some kobold city that I'd forget about until it bit me in the ass. I was out the second my head hit the pillow. The diner appeared in my dreams again. This time there was no drive-by. This time, a guy walked in and sat down without talking to or looking at anyone. Ella went over to take his order, and he pulled a gun and shot her right then and there. Joseph screamed for her, and he was shot for drawing attention. I stood and faced the gunman. He pointed the gun at me and stared. He had no anger, fear, or excitement in his eyes. There was nothing there. They were so empty. This wasn't anything special for him. To him, shooting all of us was no different than going grocery shopping. He cocked his head to the side as he considered me, and then squeezed the trigger. I woke up in a cold sweat again and stared at the ceiling. For a second, I thought the guy in my dream was Latour's character in-game, but that wasn't it. Maybe it was just the fact that he looked so unfamiliar that it went full circle and made him look familiar. I tried not to think about it. I checked the messages on my phone that I'd neglected over the last several days of playing. My parents wanted to get lunch sometime. They thanked me about a dozen times for the money, and then asked a dozen more times if I'd gone back to my old life to make this money. Others were from my bank. Now that I was accruing a considerable amount of money in my account, they were presenting me with some options for investments. That's what I loathed about money. If you had a lot of it, the world opened up new and efficient ways for you to make even more of it. The last message was a voicemail from an unknown sender. Normally, I deleted these out of principle, but decided to open this one since I needed a distraction. My breathing stopped, and my heart felt like it would pop out of my chest when I heard the voice that recorded it. "Hey, Alex. Heard you found a new mysterious revenue stream, and now you're practically throwing money at your family. Trying to make them feel better about having a rat for a kid. Just joking around with you, man. Honestly, I'm hurt you didn't want to share this windfall with your old friends. I know you'd hate to hurt my feelings, so I bought out your debt to the shark just to help you keep yourself honest. That's what friends do, right? Anyway, I felt inspired by a recent gambling trip and wanted to be the first to congratulate you on your winning spin. Your debt hit the 50 times multiplier. You got 90 days to get me $500,000 or I start taking what's missing from you, your family, and whoever in this town is still stupid enough to call you their friend. Don't test me on this one, Alex. I got it on good authority that you're good for that kind of figure. Remember, man, you do not want to hurt my feelings. Okay? See you around, I'm sure.